Praise the Lord. This is TH 102, week 4, class number 3, Walk of the Spirit, Walk of the Power, Walk of the Spirit, Walk of Power, part 1. And we are at the bottom of page 10 on your syllabus, and closed off our last session talking about how that, you know, praying in tongues enables us to receive this understanding, this teaching, this conveying of information from God. And our born-again spirit has the capacity to grasp, understand, and retain, and comprehend these mysteries that Paul is talking about. And very simply, I'll define a mystery as this. Anything you don't presently understand about God, about His Word, about your calling, about how to fulfill it, I mean, anything that's a mystery to you about healing, about deliverance, about name it, whatever it is, whatever it is. Anything you don't understand about salvation, if it's a mystery to you, then as you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is going to work to help you come to the place of understanding these mysteries. The reason for that, in part, is revealed where Paul wrote that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, etc., and so forth. If you don't have the capacity to understand all Scripture, then those things can't happen in your life. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us understand anything relative to God that we presently don't know. Now, to say it a little bit differently, some things may not be a mystery to you, but they're a mystery to me. You may understand things that I don't yet understand, but as I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is going to help me come to the place of understanding them. And it's not just head knowledge. It's spiritual life. It's spiritual reality. Remember, we're not simply talking about knowing something mentally. We are talking about increase, spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, ultimately conforming to the image of Christ. The mysteries that Paul received as he was praying in tongues, these are the things that he wrote. They became his letters or his epistles. And this is amazing. I mean, think about this. If you want to know what Paul received as revelation through praying in tongues, read everything he wrote. Now, this is, to me, this is absolutely staggering. Stunning, stupefying, and cool. Everything that Paul wrote, this is what the Holy Spirit taught him and confirmed to him. This is what he received. You say, well, what did Paul learn from the Holy Ghost? It's in here. This is it. Because he not only gave it to Paul, he instructed Paul to write it down. And Paul wrote it down and passed it on to us. I mean, think about it. Think of it this way. What Paul wrote, what we have right here, the writings of Paul, this represents the interpretation of the tongues that he prayed. Think about that. So as you pray in tongues, again, you're not getting more Scripture, but you're going to get the understanding of what's been given. And what Paul was given, it's the foundation, really, for the law of the Spirit of life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, you know, he says that these things came not as a result of having the spirit of the world, but the spirit that's of God, so that we might freely know the things that are given to us of God. And then in Romans chapter 8, take a look at verse 15. It says, "For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." In other words, the Spirit, when you got born again, it's not the Holy Ghost was adopted. It's your spirit, your born-again spirit. It's the Spirit. In other words, you had a change of life on the inside, and that change of life is the spirit of adoption. Or in other words, it's God's life in you which caused you to be His child. So the Holy Ghost wasn't adopted. I mean, using only this term as we see it, you're the one who was adopted into that family. You have God's Spirit and God's life on the inside of you. When we participate with the Holy Spirit, we come to this knowledge and this understanding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul made a statement. He said, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all." Really, more than all of you combined. You say, well, now how in the world could he say that? I mean, how would he know that he prays in tongues more than all those people combined? Here's how. Because if these, remember, they said, "I am of Paul. I am of Apollos." If they were truly of Paul, and truly of Apollos, they'd have been praying in tongues and they wouldn't be carnal. They'd have been spiritually minded. You see this? And so Paul is saying, that's why he can say, I think my God, I pray in tongues more than all of you people combined. Well, how do you know we don't pray in tongues? Because if you did, you wouldn't be like this. It's pretty simple, is it not? Paul spent untold hours praying in tongues. And the Holy Spirit transferred knowledge and instruction to Paul. And Paul wrote what he received, and God ordained his writings to be Scripture. That is just incredible to me. The writings of God passed through Paul to us by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amazing. I don't know, it just, to me it is, when I just sit and think about that. This is what God wants us to know. Now, when you talk about these mysteries and this revelation as it relates to the body of Christ, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of God, of Christ, and stewards of the ministry, or of the mysteries of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, look over there, verse 2, it says, for he that speaketh, or prays, in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now this word mysteries, in all these occurrences, comes from the Greek word mysterion, and it means some sacred thing, hidden or secret, which is naturally unknown to human reason, and is only known by the revelation of God. Now where it says is only known by the revelation of God, it might be better put, and is only known, comprehended, and understood by the revelation of God. Okay, now please let this sink in. What this is saying is that if you do not pray in tongues, you cannot come to the full knowledge, comprehension, and understanding of these things that God wants you to know. Now that sounds like a very bold and dramatic statement, but relative to what we're seeing here in Scripture, that is absolutely what God is saying. He's saying, look, you've got two choices. You can rely on the mind of man to try and explain these things to you as best as possible. That is going to result in a soulish comprehension of what I've said. Or you can let me get involved with you directly on a spiritual level. I will bypass the soul part of you and go right to the heart of the matter, literally. I'll go directly to your spirit and I will interact with you on a spiritual level, and I'll do it as the Holy Spirit. If you do this, you will be tapping into the mind of Christ. You will be tapping into everything I want you to know, and you will be gaining the comprehension of what I've established as eternal truth. And again, if you don't do this, you'll never come to the fullness of this understanding. Now guys, when you let this sink in, and we really think about this, if you don't pray in tongues, let me put it another way. God can only use you to the fullness of the truth that you understand, because He will not honor anything other than His truth. So therefore, if I want to be used more of God, then it behooves me to spend time with the Holy Spirit so that I can begin changing, understanding, comprehending these things that God has said. In Luke chapter 8, verse 10, look over there. Luke chapter 8. And take a look at verse 10. It says, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now I'm not going to teach this verse. The only part I want to point out is, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. In other words, God's already laid this plan out. And He says, listen, I want you to know these things, but you're not going to gain this understanding by depending upon the mind of man, which includes your own. The only way you're going to gain the fullness of these understanding is to let me minister to you by the Holy Spirit. You're not going to grasp this comprehension by using a language that the soul understands. It's got to be spiritual communication. It's got to be spiritual teaching. That's how you come to the place of understanding, knowing, comprehending the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Again, in John 4:24, Jesus made that statement that God is a spirit. That means right there, I mean, that should clue you in that this whole concept of learning and growing and developing spiritually, it's going to be based on spiritual education, not intellectual education. But for the most part, in the body of Christ, we've been trained to trust our intellect. We've been trusted to train the intellect of other preachers. And again, I'm not talking about people that hate God. They love Him. They just don't understand these things that God's given to us in His Word. The Holy Spirit and prayer. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it talks about the fact that Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. Well, in John chapter 16, turn back over there. John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So in other words, the Holy Spirit, as we're praying in tongues, the only thing that He's going to say through us in tongues is what is being established in heaven. Think of it this way. The Father and the Son are having a conversation about you. And as they're talking about you and their plan, the Holy Spirit is listening. As they're talking about you and your calling and your ministry and how it's to be fulfilled and where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do, etc. and so forth, the Holy Spirit is listening to this. And as He's listening, He's waiting for you to start praying in tongues. And the moment that you begin praying in tongues is the moment that He begins speaking through you and declaring through you and praying through you those things He's heard originate from the very throne room of God. So in other words, as He's praying through you, He is praying the perfect will of the Father. Everything that you need to be, everything that you need, everything that needs to be changed and so forth, this is what He is praying through you. In John, as it says here in your outline, as we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is praying the perfect words of God's desire for us. Remember in Romans chapter, let me show you this. Romans 10, verse 17. Look over here. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, as you're praying in tongues, who's giving you the words to pray? The Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's God. Now, think of it this way. As you're praying in tongues, you're praying the word of God. Now, you may not be praying chapter and verse, but if God's speaking it, you see what I'm saying? If God is speaking it, it's God. If God walked in here right now and looked at you and said, you know what? Here's what I want you to do for the next 3 weeks. Would that not be the Word of God? Likewise, when you're praying in tongues, if the Holy Spirit is only praying what He hears and only speaking what He hears, it's the Word of God. It's God's Word for you. If it's chapter and verse, then it's something out of chapter and verse you need. If it has to do with the specifics of your calling, well, it's still God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, yeah, but if I'm praying in tongues, I don't understand it. But your spirit is receiving it. Where is faith? Is it in your understanding, or is it in your spirit? You see what I mean? That's one of the reasons why over in Jude it says you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in tongues, because when you're praying in tongues, you're praying God's Word. You can't pray anything other than the Word of God when you're praying in tongues, because the language is coming from God. I mean, think of the great advantages in this. Praise the Lord. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it talks about that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We quoted from that. This word inspiration, it comes from a Greek word, theanoustos. And later on, I encourage you, go back and read 2 Timothy 3:16 in its entirety. But this word theanoustos means divinely breathed forth by God's Holy Spirit. So God inspired it by speaking it. In John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus made the statement, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. God's word is truth. In John 14, you're in Romans chapter 10. Go ahead and turn back over to John. John chapter 14. We'll probably look a lot in John 14 and John 16 throughout this course. In John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." John 16:13. "He, the Spirit of truth, when he's come, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come." The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, teaches all things and guides into all truth. In other words, as you're praying in tongues, error will never be deposited into your spirit. As you're praying in tongues, wrong doctrine will never be deposited into your spirit. Lies of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils will never be deposited into your spirit. Only the purest form of truth, regardless of what it is and how it applies, only the purest form of truth will ever be deposited into you as you pray in tongues. You cannot get that from man. What I mean by that is, all of us, we have the potential to make a mistake, do we not? But not the Holy Spirit. He can't make a mistake. He can never use a syllable incorrectly. It is always going to be perfect. It is always going to be pure. It will always be holy. It will always be truth. Always. No exceptions to this whatsoever. If you look over in 1 John chapter 2, and take a look beginning in, or just look at verse 27. In verse 27, 1 John chapter 2, he says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Notice how close this is to what Jesus said in John 14:26 and John 16:13 about the Holy Ghost guiding you into all truth, teaching you all things, and so forth. And here he, instead of saying the Holy Spirit, he's saying the anointing. Well, who is the one that releases the anointing? The Holy Spirit. So, in other words, we could paraphrase it like this, maybe for clarity. The anointing that is released into you has come from the Holy Spirit whom you've received. And he abides in you. And you do not need to place total 100% dependence on any man to be the source of all of your teaching. Because man has the capacity to make a mistake and lead you astray. But as this anointing has taught you and will continue to teach you as long as you involve yourself with him, that anointing that he releases in you is truth. It is never going to be a lie. And as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Notice it switches from an it to a him. Think about that. What he's saying here is, the more that you spend time with the Holy Spirit praying in tongues, that anointing of truth is going to be released on the inside of you to correct everything that is wrong. To correct any wrong belief. And the more that the wrong is corrected and replaced with the right, is the more you're going to abide in Christ. Is the more you're going to abide in the fullness of the Father. Is the more you're going to conform to the image of Christ. I want to be like Jesus. The Holy Spirit will help you. Yeah, but I don't believe in praying in tongues. So then you're going to conform and be like Jesus as best as you can figure it out. Don't you think the Holy Spirit knows better? Well, of course he does. He's God. He better know better. Now, our spirit, as we're born again, our spirit is open to the Holy Spirit. And divine revelation and mysteries and understanding of Scripture are all passed into our spirit. Through continued prayer and meditation of the Word, this information is then transferred to our understanding. Think of it like this. It first gets released in your spirit, and then there's this line, this wire. It's running from your spirit to your conscious way of thinking. And over time, the information that's been deposited into your spirit begins to be transferred to your conscious way of thinking. And you begin to understand the things of God like you've never understood them before. And he can present to you entire images of passages showing you how Scripture is, one Scripture is connected to another Scripture, one chapter to another chapter, one book to another book. He can begin to give to you the full understanding of what God's... Listen, now, have you ever heard anybody say something like, maybe not these exact words, but say something like, "Well, you know, the Bible is just too hard to understand." No, it's not. Oh, yeah, it is. No, it can't be. because if it were too hard to understand, it wouldn't be profitable for anything. We have the capacity to understand everything that's written. Now, can I clue you in on something? This is one of the reasons why all these different versions of the Bible have been written. It's that people don't know how to depend on the Holy Spirit. So what we do is we go through King James and we try... Now, think about this. We try to make it easier for people to understand by writing it in a way they can comprehend. In other words, we are appealing to their soulish comprehension. And I was talking to a pastor about this one time, and how that, you know, he preaches from a particular version. A lot of, most all the people use that version, so on and so forth, because the King James is too hard to understand. I said, well, you know, I tell people that the Holy Spirit knows the Word of God, and He is able to give anyone the full comprehension of what the King James says. Because unless you can read Greek and Hebrew, unless you know those languages, you need something in your language that you can read. And for somebody to say, well, I can't even pronounce some of these words. Hey, I stumble over some... Get some of the tape from my sermons now and then. Can you imagine naming your kids some of these names that are in the Bible? I mean, some of these names are like four verses long. Nobody should have a name like that. You know, Bob, that's an easy name. Name him Bob. Well, anyway, some of the words are hard to pronounce. But what I'm saying is, as you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit's going to be able to help you understand what's written here. Let me give you an example. I don't know if I shared this before. There have been times where I've been praying in tongues, you know, over the years. And I'll come to things in here and I see a word and I'm thinking, and boy, just all of a sudden on the inside, I'm thinking, you know what? I'll bet you that word means such and such and such and such. And then I'll go to a Greek dictionary or a Hebrew dictionary and look it up, and sure enough, that's exactly what the word means. The Holy Spirit has the ability to not only explain the King James to you, He has the ability to explain to you the definition of words when you haven't even looked them up yet. He's God. He can do this. And if you leave Him out, I don't need you, Holy Ghost, I've got commentaries. He says, say, well, the problem is I didn't inspire the commentaries. I inspired the Word of God. And if you'll spend time with me... Now listen, guys, I'm not... If you spend time with the Holy Ghost, He can help you understand what's written. And I don't care if you're like Jethro and only made it through sixth grade. I can only say that for so long because a generation is rising up who has no idea who the Beverly Hillbillies are, no idea who Jethro is. You understand what I mean? He can do... Don't sell Him short. He can help you understand this. And yet, if you don't know how to rely on the Holy Spirit, you're going to do your best to come up with a simplified version. And some of these versions, they've left stuff out. And when we get to the course on studying the Bible, you'll see this. You'll get some comparison notes to show you things that have been left out of other versions. Or how they've reworded them. Or, in some cases, if you just change the position of a comma, it changes the meaning of the verse. And yet, here's the Holy Ghost the whole time saying, well, you know what? If you guys just learn to depend on Me, I could explain this stuff to you. I'm God. I'm the one that wrote it in the first place. And I know what I wrote. I haven't forgotten. That's why, one of the reasons why, I no longer, now years ago I did, but I no longer buy into the King James is too hard to understand. It's not, guys, it's not because I'm smarter than anybody else. Please believe me. It's just because I prayed in tongues and I figured out Holy Spirit can explain this. He can help me understand because He's God. So here we have this book and this anointing. It's been released and will continually be released into us by the Holy Spirit, transferring the truth. As we continue to pray and meditate and get into the Word, He transfers the understanding to our comprehension. And we begin to grasp the truth of the Word as never before. And we are protected against deception. Verse 26, 1 John chapter 2, verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Now, we're not going to teach 1 John, okay? But what he's saying in this, look in verse 20. He says, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. If we knew all things, we wouldn't need to hear this course about praying in tongues now, would we? We would already know to pray in tongues. What he's saying here is you have access to the Holy One, Holy Spirit. You have access to Him to know all things. And where he says, these things I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Here, when you first read that and you don't understand the context of everything he's writing, you can think, oh yeah, there's cults out there. They're trying to get me to, you know, bow down and worship this statue of this little fat, bald-headed guy and all these other things. That's not what he's talking. It could be, okay, in the ultimate extreme. But he's talking about them who are seducing you with the doctrines of man that would take you away from the central truth of what God has revealed in His Word. One example, tongues aren't for today. That is a seducing doctrine. Another example, divine healing is not for today. That is a seducing doctrine because it is for today. The gifts of the Spirit are not for today. That is a seducing spirit. The problem is the people that preach these things don't understand it's a seducing spirit. They're not lying to us on purpose. They just don't understand. They love God. They're born again and they will spend eternity in heaven. But John is writing here, and he's saying, listen, there are people out there preaching stuff that it will seduce you. Oh, it will seduce you away from the joy of the Lord. It will seduce you away from the peace that passes all understanding. It will seduce you away from a miracle that you need in your body. It will seduce you away from healing for your child. But you've got an anointing that will counteract that seduction to bring about a release of truth in your life, but you've got to participate with the Holy Spirit in order to experience it. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, look at this real quickly. Matthew 10, verse 24. Jesus says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. In modern English, what we would say is, the teacher is not above his student. When the Holy Spirit is my student, I'm trying to teach you guys, yeah, I know I'm the teacher of the class and so forth, but I'm trying to teach you guys to make the Holy Spirit your teacher. When the Holy Spirit is your teacher, you will continue to grow spiritually. If you rely on me and me alone to be your teacher, you can only rise to the spiritual level that I'm walking at. That's it. You cannot go beyond me if I'm your source. But when you learn to make Him your source, He'll take you beyond anything you could ever dream. And He will work in you to bring about things you haven't imagined. All because it's the will of God. Now in Romans chapter 12, turn over there. Let's talk about discovering God's plan. And talk about it quickly. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, where it says in verse 1 and 2, present your body a living sacrifice. And then in verse 2 it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you don't do verse 1, you don't get verse 2. You have to do verse 1 before you can experience verse 2. And if you don't experience verse 2, then you cannot experience verse 3 and beyond. There is a process in this. He says, present your body as a living sacrifice, Then you're going to come to the place of being transformed, no longer conformed to this world's way of thinking. Once that happens, you are going to know, comprehend, and understand God's perfect, acceptable will for your life. His good, acceptable, and perfect will. And then he goes on, verse 3 and beyond, talking about that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We are called to ministry, and we should be offering our body. God considers it reasonable. What does it mean to offer your body? Well, very simply, body, you're going to do what I say. And if I say we're going to spend the next couple of hours praying in tongues, that means you ain't watching television. So don't fuss with me, flesh. Soul, hush up. Mind, uh-uh. You're not going to watch that program. We're going to sit here and we're going to pray in tongues. We're turning, no, you're not going to get to answer the phone either. I don't care who it is. Yeah, but what if it's somebody that died? We'll go raise them from the dead. But we are spending the next 2 hours praying in tongues. I mean, that's one way to look at this about a living sacrifice, okay? Because it is a sacrifice to force yourself to get into the Word, to get into prayer. It is. Don't you feel like you're killing yourself to make yourself do these things? Hey, I'm not exempt from this. Anyone fights it. Trust me. Because the flesh has not yet been glorified. The emotions are still in the process of being conquered. Therefore, it's a living sacrifice. Finding and fulfilling God's plan is dependent upon doing Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. So how do we offer our bodies a living sacrifice? In Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus has redeemed us from every condemning sentence. In other words, you're not condemned by the sin nature. You're not. Now listen to this. Smoking may be wrong, but you're not condemned by smoking. Okay? In other words, I got a watch going off on tangents here. He's redeemed us from every condemning sentence related to the sin nature that was exposed by the law. Okay? We live in that redemption as we live according to our new nature. In other words, you're redeemed. Okay, think of it like this. You are redeemed from lung cancer caused by smoking. But if you keep smoking, you're not going to live in that redemption. You understand what I'm saying? Now please, if you're here tonight or listening to this by tape and you smoke, please don't get offended and drop out of the school. I'm using that as an example. And everybody here, you guys, y'all understand what I mean by that, okay? So I'm not trying to put people down. In John chapter 16, verse 13, we've already read this. The Holy Spirit will teach us all truth, and He will teach us the truth of our redemption. I just can't quit this habit. He says, no, wait a minute. You've been redeemed from the power of that habit to control you. If you'll let me pray through you as you pray in tongues, I'll be able to reveal to you how you're free from the control of that habit. But I can't quit this. I can't. Yes, you can. Because the power of your born-again spirit is not bound by the things of this world. You've been set free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let me pray through you and teach this to you and explain these things to you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13, he says, if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, where it says, if ye through the Spirit, that Spirit's not the Holy Ghost. He said, but it's a capital S. I know. But what he's saying here, he's not saying, listen, the Holy Ghost is going to stop all your bad habits. They're not his bad habits. They're yours. let me rephrase this. If you, through the power of the life of God in you, if you will exercise that power against all this stuff that wants to hold you back, you are going to experience the fullness of redemption life that's been given to you through Jesus Christ. So it's up to us. I'm just waiting for God to take this habit away. God's saying, I'm waiting for you to figure out my life in you is the power you need to stop this thing. If you, through my born-again life spirit in you, will stand up to it, you're going to experience the power of born-again life. Remember, in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If ye through the flesh do, or through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, make it a living sacrifice. See that? If you do it, You're the one that has to do it. I'll be there to help you. And the Holy Spirit's been given to help you do this. But you're the one that... You know, have you ever heard that song, Is Your All on the Altar? Is Your All on the Altar of Sacrifice Laid? Remember that old hymn? Who lays it there? It's not God. We're the ones that lays our all on the altar. And that all includes me taking my body, my flesh, fleshly desires, the way that I've trained my thinking over the years to think according to the world, to want to do the things according to the world. See, when you get born again, you don't really know the fullness of what it means to live as a Christian. It is a new life. Okay? That's why you have to transform your mind. Go through this transformation process. Don't remain conformed to the world's way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can I renew my mind? Figure out how to tap into the mind of Christ. Well, how do I do that? You don't know? No, I don't. Holy Spirit knows. He'll help you. You pray in tongues, He's going to teach you how to live and rely on the spiritual mind of Christ that comes from the spiritual life that you receive when you put your faith in Jesus to be born again. Now, if I choose to make decisions and live according to the fleshly, emotional desires, I open the door to condemning sentences. In other words, my body says, I want to smoke and I'm going to. I'm going to drink and I'm going to. I want to do drugs. I want to do this. I want to do that. I'm opening the door for nasty stuff to happen in my life. It isn't God putting it on me. I don't know why God gave me this emphysema. But you smoked for 53 years. Well, yeah, but that can't be the reason. You don't think so, huh? The power of my born-again spirit can mortify those desires. In Romans 8, 26 through 28, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. Now notice here, look how this is written. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Also means in addition to. You can't have an also if something else isn't at work. You see what I mean? I can't say my left headlight came on also unless there was a right headlight that already came on. The Spirit also. Also what? In addition to the power of our born-again Spirit, which is enough to say, no, I won't do this and no, I won't do that. The Spirit also helps our infirmities. What are our infirmities? In the book you read, it's our inabilities to produce results because of the limitations imposed on us by the flesh. Our born-again spirit says, but we don't need to be doing these kind of things. And the flesh says, yeah, but you don't have any choice in the matter. I've been in control here for 40 years, and I'm going to stay in control. And the born-again spirit says, yeah, but something needs to change. And the flesh says, it ain't going to change. I'm staying in control. Well, what am I supposed to do? Oh, pastor, pray for me. I feel like a miserable sheep-eating dog. What am I going to do? And the Holy Spirit says, aha, I have the answer. I will help you also. In addition to the power of God's life in you, I'll step in and help you learn how to live according to that life. But you've got to give me the opportunity to pray through you because you don't know how to pray. If you did, you'd have already prayed and conquered this thing. So you don't understand. And that's where I fit in. I have come to help you in this area. The Holy Spirit works in conjunction with our born-again spirit, the power of our new nature, to help us overcome these fleshly desires, these emotions that are influenced by external circumstances. That's your emotions. Nearly every emotion that you feel is influenced by an external circumstance, whether it's a positive or a negative emotion. You can usually trace it to something that happened on the outside. In church services, most people respond emotionally to what the preacher's saying, not necessarily to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Listen, I'm not the best, but I guarantee you, I've been around long enough, I could take certain verses in the Bible, you take me and put me in the right kind of a church, I promise you, I could preach that verse in such a way, I'll have people running, I'll have people shouting, it's going to be all flesh. I can appeal to the emotions if I want to, but I don't want to. I don't want to do that just to get somebody stirred up. One way to find out if people are being led by the Spirit, observe the worship services. I'm not talking about the praise. I'm talking about the worship. When people enter into that time, call it the slow songs, okay, just to help you understand, of worshiping. Anybody can get worked up with this. Take that away and let's just, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, great Jehovah. You see what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit enables worship. When people can't worship, it means that they're operating not out of their spirit, but out of their fleshly feelings. When's this going to be over? Let's get on with the preaching. We've hurry up. Got a roast on. The Holy Spirit enables worship. If we're flowing with the Holy Spirit, even though the body might get tired of standing, we'll sit down and just keep worshiping. And that is a key to you don't want to get judgmental, but I'm telling you right now, when people are flowing with the Holy Spirit, man, it can be hard to try to pull them away from worship. And I think you guys, I think you should understand what I'm talking about. Okay, let's move along here. If we knew how to pray to overcome these infirmities, we would. I don't know what God's will is for my life. Pray in tongues. Holy Ghost does. The Holy Spirit always prays in accordance with God's will, mind, plan, and intent. He will never, ever go against what God has established. He knows where every Christian stands regarding God's perfect plan. He knows if you're at stage 1, 5, 8, 15, 36. He knows wherever you are as far as fulfilling God's plan. He'll work at you at that level to take you beyond it. All the things that he prays work together according to God's purpose. For number one, the individual believer. And for number two, the entire body of Christ. In Romans 8:37, he says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verses 26 and 28 reveal an interaction of the Holy Spirit on our part, or with us. Verses 31 through 39 are an end result of that prayer. In other words, you come to the place of understanding that you're more than a conqueror. I am not the conquered. I am more than a conqueror. I am not the prey for the devil. I'm the one that's over him. He's under my feet. I'm the body of Christ. The devil's under my feet. You come to the place of understanding that you don't have to live conquered by habits and behaviors, by anger, by attitudes, by unforgiveness. You come to the place of understanding that you have the ability to conquer all of that stuff and nothing is going to rule over your life. You come to the place of understanding that nothing can separate you from the love of God, because the more you pray in tongues, the more the Holy Ghost is able to shed the love of God abroad on your heart. And you come to the place of realizing that I am praying my way into the fullness of God's perfect will. I'll be able to fulfill it, and nothing can separate me from fulfilling this will, because I have teamed up with the Holy Spirit and I'm going to win. Praise God. Amen. The Holy Spirit's been given for this. We offer our bodies through yielding our authority. God's authority is released through words. Genesis, go back and read it. God said, and it was. As we yield our authority by substituting the Holy Spirit's words for our own, God's will and authority is confirmed in us and through us. Praying in tongues releases the rivers of living water. John 7:38, he talked about that. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost hadn't been given yet. This living water is poured upon the seed of God's plan in our life. Seed needs water to grow. The Word is sown in us like seed. We pray in tongues. It's like watering that seed to bring forth the fruit in the fullness of what God desires. As that plan grows and develops in our spirit, it becomes more clear to our understanding. At one time in my life, I didn't know what I was called to be. At one time in my life, I didn't know I was supposed to open a Bible college. But the more you pray in tongues, the more you figure out what you're supposed to do. You come to the understanding and knowledge of God's will. And along with that, I'm telling you right now, Praying in tongues will help you learn to hear the voice of God. And we will get into this later on. Father, we want to thank You for Your Word. We bless You and praise You, Jesus. Father, Your Word has gone forth. And it is my prayer that people will not depend on what they've heard me say, but what they've heard You say and reveal through Your Word. Father, may everyone who's a part of this class, either here in person or correspondence, become so excited about praying in tongues that, Father, we'll accept the revelation of this truth, we'll apply it to our lives, because, Father, the change will take place. Now, as we leave here tonight, Jesus, all the glory is to You, it's for You, because it's Your kingdom and Your righteousness that we want to see fulfilled and worked out in this life. Thank You for watching over us and protecting us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll see you next time. And if anybody here would like prayer for anything, I'll just meet you down front.